Give a little time for the child within you. Don't be afraid to be young and free. Undo the locks and throw away the keys and take off your shoes and socks and run you.
Oh, it's Jordan Jesse Go. I'm Jesse Thorne, America's radio sweetheart.
Jordan Morris, boy detective.
How you doing, buddy?
You know what? I'm doing great. It was a beautiful day today.
It was 87 degrees today here in Los Angeles. And it was one of those days when I had to leave the house with a jacket on. By the time I got back to the house, jacket free. Rolled into my Christopher Walken interview in just a casual sports shirt.
Did you do your famous impression that only you do of him?
Jack Nicholson? Did my Jack Nicholson?
Yeah, where you push your hairline back.
Here's Johnny.
Oh, that's it. That's the one.
That's the one. Get in the chopper.
Yeah. your impression where, as Jack Nicholson, you say Arnold Schwarzenegger quotes a little bit wrong.
I'll be back soon.
There, that's the one.
I'm a twin.
I'm sorry you never made it onto SNL, Jesse. I know you had a couple auditions. Lorne was interested.
I figured if James Adomian couldn't get on SNL, I could, you know? Mm-hmm. Because I'm better than him at everything.
Sure, yeah. I mean, I think as those impressions clearly prove.
I'm definitely a better impressionist than genius impressionist James Adomian. I'm not better than him. He's way better than me. Yeah, it was a beautiful day. Did you get to do a beautiful day activity?
No, you know, I just like, you know, I had to, it was a work day, but I had a little break where I could go to the supermarket, get a little shopping done. And I just got a great value priced lunch there at the, sandwich counter at the supermarket. Mm. Got a roast beef, bag of chips, bottle of water, $5.99. I mean, and it was great. Nice hard roll.
Can I tell you what?
Yes, it was a beautiful day out today.
You could
beautiful
do a day. Lot worse than a sandwich from the supermarket.
Sandwich from the supermarket's great.
You have a decent supermarket. That sandwich is going to be pretty good.
Yeah.
Why are people going to Subway and Cuisinart when they could be going just straight to the supermarket?
Yeah.
Did I ever tell you about that Cuisinart?
Is that a Star Wars planet?
One time
we had to fight Cad Bane on Cuisinart.
When we're driving from Los Angeles to San Francisco or vice versa, we'll often stop in a town on the 5 freeway called Kettleman City.
Mm.
Because it has an In-N-Out burger in it.
Sure.
It's like the most medium distance In-N-Out burger. And my wife and I were driving between those two places with my mother-in-law. And we stopped at the In-N-Out Burger, and my mother-in-law got a really worried look on her face, and she said she was going to eat something healthy. She said, I'll be across the street at the Cuisinart.
Mm. And that's how she pronounced it?
Yeah, that's what she said.
Nice. My southern relatives would come visit us and say that we should get chicken from El Pollo Loco.
Yeah, that's awesome. Yeah, relatives are fun.
they say stuff a little bit wrong.
Yeah. Our guest on the program this week is the ever capable host of the Go Fact Yourself podcast, the man probably best known for the interview I did with him for XM Radio in 2003, J. Keith Van Stratton. Hi, J. Keith.
Hey, Jesse. Hey, Jordan. How's it going?
Hey, good. Do you do any impressions?
I can do, no.
You got it.
you guys want to call the podcast early today?
Yeah. Apparently I don't do improv either. Yeah.
What about this one? This one is, this one's Jack Nicholson.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Hey, Adrian, I'm Rocky.
Wow. You're branching out from Schwarzenegger quotes a little bit wrong into Sly Stallone quotes a little bit wrong. That's great.
I won't tell you what happens. It's a cliffhanger.
Cliffhanger. Yeah. Right.
Let's thumb wrestle.
All right.
But you see, I'm pulling back my hair.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Zoom froze a little bit, so I didn't see you pulling back your hair. I like it. It's good now.
J. Keith,
your hair went over the top.
Thanks.
There you
thanks,
go.
Thanks, J. Keith.
Hello.
Thanks for giving us the update on what's going on in the neighborhood council there. You're an elected leader here in the great city of Los Angeles. What's the neighborhood council that you're on at this time?
I'm on the Mid-City West Neighborhood Council. At this time, like, yeah, I go from council to council, and my goal is to be on each of the 99 neighborhood councils like in the city of Los Angeles.
Like a Carradine-type situation, just traveling from council to council, solving injustices.
Yes, like you, and then like it's...
Yeah. You rent an apartment in Culver City, so you can you don't live there, but you can establish right. residence, so you can be
exactly. Got to be a stakeholder. Got to be a stakeholder.
Do you, would you say that you really paved the way for our colleague Sydney McElroy to run for the West Virginia legislature?
I just read that she's doing that. That's fantastic. You know, pioneer, trailblazer, coincidence. I mean, what do these titles or terms really mean?
Sure.
Jay Keith, what's the biggest grant you've ever approved on that neighborhood council?
So I am less than a year into my term, and I don't believe, I'm trying to think the biggest thing that we've done. We just approved $1,000, not as a grant, but for our outreach committee, which, on which I serve, to purchase a bus bench and bus shelter ads, because the city has a program where that you can run them for free, but you have to pay for the printing, and you have to go to their a city printing place to get them done. But it pays for itself. You get that kind of exposure and you get that kind of engagement with the community of people looking at your bus bench and your shelter. You know, it's worth it. You know why people continue to advertise on bus benches and shelters?
Why is that, Keith?
Because it works.
Yeah, thanks.
Yeah.
He's right.
Yeah, that's Jake, why you see the same ads over and over. Yeah.
Jake Keith, I got to vote for you just before I left.
Oh, thank you so much, yeah. Jordan. I appreciate that.
You chose not to.
Yeah, I opted not to. Yeah. I wrote in D's nuts. How is what is it like serving with Councilman Nuts?
You know, we have a cordial relationship. We're collegial. Mm-hmm. We're colleagues, and we have a collegial relationship.
A lot of people say to D's nuts, "Who do you represent?" He says, "Represent who? My nuts." Jay Keith, known as Cool Keith, by the way.
Right.
We're doing Cool Keith material.
Jay Keith, this is, I have noticed in the time we've been talking, we did a little bit of like chatting, you know, before the show started, and we've, you know, we've done a little bit of chatting now. I've noticed more than one piece of bad, bad Bots Maru merchandise.
Thank God this is finally. Zoom. I've been telling Jay Keith.
It's the cranky penguin in the room.
I've been telling Jay Keith to save this bad, bad Bots Maru talk for the next time he's on Jordan Jesse Go for about 4 years now.
Oh, at least. I don't think I've been on this show at least 8 years, by the way.
Right. Jay Keith, let's
we're
talk.
Not bitter.
We're on an 8 year cycle.
First of all.
Yeah, the double Olympiad
in the first year of your term. Jay Keith, first of all, for people who don't know, or maybe they're only familiar with some of the better Bots Marus, who is Bad Bad Bots Maru?
Bad Bad Bots Maru is a penguin character. He is in the Hello Kitty Sanrio family. And for reasons I cannot explain, I have been collecting him for over 20 years.
Wow.
It actually started when I was visiting San Francisco, your hometown, where I was walking with a friend of mine and she picked up a pen. I was like, oh, that's a cute little character. I'll get a pen. And then it just ballooned is too tame a term. It exploded into everything. And I actually have had to limit myself for the last several years to only things that are functional. Because if I get things... If I get things that are, and functional, very loose definition of the term.
So we're talking about condoms. We're talking about dental
all sex toys. Yes, yes. By functional, yes. Or functional, as they might say.
Hey.
Bots Maru, you're bad.
Yeah, he is bad. So I've tried to confine it to just the bathroom in my home. Or the bad bathroom room, if you will.
I will not.
I will not. Well, fuck it.
Yeah.
I'm retracting my vote.
Oh, no, I've been recalled.
Yeah.
Another vote for Seymour Butts.
And when my girlfriend, who is now my fiancée, when she moved in, we did a lot of redecorating. And so the bathroom, the Bots Maru bathroom has now become the Bots Maru shelf in the bathroom. way up high over the door. But there's still a lot of leakage throughout the home. So I'm sitting at my desk here. I've got the mug, as you probably noticed. I've got that other mug behind me. This is a pencil sharpener. When you turn the pencil, little Batsmru does a little springy dance right there.
Wow.
I've got two different pen cups. I've got 100 different pencils and pens. The point is I need help.
Is there a crown jewel in your collection?
Excellent question.
Thank you.
You're welcome, Jordan.
Yes. That's a very good question. I would say some of my favorites are, well, when I used to wear wristwatches, there were some Batsmru wristwatches that I really enjoyed and were hard to get. And actually, there's a ceramic mug that I'm very proud of that I probably should not be using because based on the eBay prices, it's porcelain and it's very delicate, but also the eBay prices keep rising for the replacement cost. I have it appraised for the insurance replacement value.
Right.
I do not. But for those who collect that might be my favorite one. There's a mug that has a little dish that you can either use as a cover or you can use as a little dish for your tea bag afterwards. And I believe everyone has fallen asleep.
No, Jake, what,
no, I'm just transfixed. I'm getting too horny. I'm getting so.
Anybody got any condoms? Yeah.
Some bad condoms.
I don't think there's been Jake, any naughty Batsmru stuff. There is a notorious Hello Kitty massager that I did pick up when I was in Japan.
Yes. Oh, wow.
But as far as I know, there is not any licensed Batsmru sex merchandise. But if you're imaginative enough, anything can be.
Yeah, no, if you go deep enough into Etsy.
I'd fuck
yeah, oh, for sure.
If it's got a little lid for my tea bag. Jay Keith.
Yes, sir.
What does this porcelain Bad Bad Batsmru mug go for on the Electronic Bay right now?
Last time I looked, it was in the hundreds of dollars. It was
multiple hundreds?
It was multiple hundreds.
Jeez,
this,
really?
This particular one, yes. It's you know, because a lot of them when you get into the nitty gritty of it, there are ones that are Japan only, or they're ones that were only available. You know, like any, it's all supply and demand, fellas. It's all Keynesian economics.
When you're I'm a bad, bad supply sider. Mm-hmm. Jay Keith, when you say that when your fiance moved in, you did some redecorating in the bad, bad bats room.
Yeah.
Was that just because your fiance had to move in her pom-pom purine materials?
How dare you? She's a Choco Cat woman.
She's
no,
all karopi all the time.
Karopi. How did she... Now, at what point in your dating... Because obviously she agreed to marry you.
Yes.
At what point in your dating did you say, hey... I collect functional penguin items.
It was pretty early on. I've learned my lesson that it is not first time going out material.
Yeah.
First time you open with Tuxedo Sam. Yeah, that's right. I've got a graphic guide to Sanrio characters open in Google. I'm ready to talk about Spotty Dotty.
These aren't organic pulls, Jesse?
I had karopi.
What about the integrity of the show? You have to be off the dome.
Look, Jordan, the reality of it is it's worth it if I can just one time bring up Chi Chai Manchon.
Now, I probably do have some of those character things because, a lot of times you want to only get the Batsmru item, but it comes in a pack with all these other losers. And
yeah,
so
you end up
with
a pink Nokorisu.
Yes. One of my favorite moments, it combined two of my loves, which is travel and Batsmru. There is an airline, EVA, that is out of Taiwan, that has one airplane that they decorate in Batsmru livery, both outside and inside. And it was my dream to fly on this plane and to collect every item that I could. those actually are some of my favorite items also.
Did it happen? Did you fly on
the
plane?
Yes, yes. I was
able
to do it.
Where did you go to and from?
I went from Taipei to Fukuoka, Japan.
So it does not fly out of
and
Burbank.
Back. It does not. No, no, no. You had to get. I had to get there.
God,
the Hello Kitty one.
LAX for this? God, oh, fuck your dreams,
dude, man. Fucking bummer. Yeah.
I mean, at least Long Beach, right? Yeah. It's a longer drive, but
Ontario's out of the question.
Saving time, time on parking.
They do have. They do have a couple Hello Kitty jets that actually will go to Chicago, and I think maybe go to LA. I haven't checked the routes lately, but they had the one Batsumaru plane that went between Taipei and Fukuoka. So I went Taipei to Fukuoka in economy, and then I went back in first. And let me tell you, the different items that you can get in first. Now I get it.
Gosh, wow.
I never understood the appeal of first class.
That's where
you
get the massager. And if you're tasteful with the blanket, you can use it.
Yeah.
They give you a little video of Pippo fucking Peckle. If you ask. You have to ask for the warm nuts.
That's code. It's it's airplane code.
Your Pippo fucking Peckle.
Do you know anything about the like is there lore? Do you does he have in shows? Do you know anything about the character? Is it just pure
I do
design?
Not,
you just like
I do not
design.
Agree with the character. Okay, oh. I do not. I do know about it.
Because he's allegedly
profoundly homophobic.
Yes.
Okay.
Where were you on January 6th, bad Batsumaru?
I just wanted to meet Jay Johnston.
Huge Mr. Show fan.
Yeah.
There are tiny little bios that appear, for instance, in the in an anniversary coloring book of different characters. And when I used to go on their website, that a little bio of Batsumaru that would explain that I don't recall, but either that he is 4 or 6 years old.
Okay.
He lives in Gorgeous Town. And he has a girlfriend named Hanamaru, who, as far as I can tell from the merchandise that has both of them, is a seal, is a white fur seal. He also has a friend who is a panda and another friend who's an alligator. Frankly, I don't care about any of that, and I feel very uncomfortable getting excited to bring home a six-year-old from Gorgeous Town.
You're you're jealous of the seal, J. Keith.
Well, for a long time I was.
You're Batsumaru's girlfriend. Now you're engaged.
You're talking about – now you – like – so you've alluded to the fact that like, you know, you got together with your girlfriend and she became your fiance and, you know, you're like – your life is changing a lot and you're making – you know, you're welcoming someone else into your life. And it does sound like, you know, the collection is kind of changing and evolving or devolving maybe. Do what – you know, and I don't want to pry too much, but what – you know, was this like a sit-down talk compromise that you had to have? Like, the bathroom will now become the shelf, will now become the shoebox under the bed. Like, was it
– Oh, no. I hope it's not come into that.
Yeah.
There was a discussion. Okay. And, you know, as in any healthy relationship, there's give and take. And, you know, I am happy with the settlement that we reached. And to be fair, it's not it is not an eye-rolling, ugh, kind of, you know, I don't get it. Kind of a thing. She is respectful.
That's sure.
There are some of the things that she thinks are cute as well. There are many that apparently in my years of living as a bachelor have become gross that I did not realize. So, you know, one of the reasons I love her is because we spend a lot of time together cleaning the Batsumaru items that we wanted to.
A layer of film had popped up.
Yeah. Yeah, wow.
That's really beautiful.
It was a little grosser than I had remembered. There's also a large box of things that well, we're still under the delusion that I'm going to put them on eBay, but I think they're pretty much going to end up at Goodwill.
Discussion.
But for now, no. I mean, I'm willing to release them, but I just don't know how realistic it is that I'll actually end up listing them on eBay. Listeners, if there are any of you who want to enjoy an authenticated J. Keith Van Stratton Batsumaru collection, please reach out.
Jakey, you're on the right show. You've chosen the right show.
I don't know. I think most of our listeners are into Dark Grape Man.
Jesse, you're a man with many collections. You also share your house.
That's true.
Has there had to be any concessions made to like, here's the space I can use for X, or we need to decrease the amount of, you know, space we're dedicating to Y?
I hired a Jordan Jesse Go listener named Max to build record shelves in my living room.
Mm-hmm.
So that's where those live. I'm, you know, I'm a collector of things, but I don't have any, I don't have a ton of collections besides the records. And I guess you could count my clothes, but it's a slightly different thing. But I definitely collect a lot of crap. I have here in my home office, I have like a little cabinet, like a lighted glass cabinet that's got my stuffed hedgehog, my, the award my father won. When my dad died, I went home to the house and took a few things out of the house. One of them was this award that my dad won called the Stockholm Challenge. And he went to Stockholm to get it. A beautiful award that was like a globe, two halves of a glass globe. And just a spectacularly beautiful award, big deal award in international nonprofits.
Oh, so it was not for sympathizing with his captors?
No.
No, okay.
And he broke it immediately, like between the getting it and getting it into it. And he had to write them a letter to ask if he could get another one.
And?
I think they made him pay for it, but he did get another one. So I have that in there. And then I have a little standee of the 1930s baseball player Van Lingle Mungo.
Mm.
From the collection of the estate of Van Lingle Mungo.
Really?
Have you had to like get rid of stuff for logistical reasons? Has there been some stuff that's been like hard to let go of?
You mean like the rotating blade?
Yeah.
The thing about having a store is you got an indoor and an outdoor, right? So if I'm done with it, it goes in the put this on shop, and I don't miss it. I've had to explain to multiple therapists though, like where I draw the line between loving stuff and being a hoarder, and it is always a challenge. I mean, there's definitely no doubt that my mom's house, there isn't wall space to put up art. The walls are covered in art, but in an orderly manner, and there's never anything like blocking a walkway. That's sort of my standard. Is anything blocking a walkway?
Mm-hmm. Is it impeding motion?
Is there a tunnel?
Egress. Mm-hmm. Egress is still achieved.
Yeah, exactly. I have the fire marshal come once a year. I don't know if he's Bill. Have you met this guy?
Boy, that guy is loud.
A little accident prone, I've heard.
Yeah.
He is a little bit. But do you think that's funny, Fire Marshal Bill? Think about it inside your head. There's a new thing to think about inside your head. Fire Marshal Bill, do you think it's funny?
I did a little, boy, this was a couple years ago, but there was some, they popped up on a streaming service or some cable channel was replaying In Living Color, something that I loved as a kid, loved.
Unequivocally.
And, like, not only was it the funniest thing in the world to me for a period, but also, like, you know, the Fly Girls were very important to me for reasons.
Yeah.
It was just like my shit completely.
Yeah. Want to hear a song about it? Like to hear it?
Here it goes. saying those old catchphrases like is very fun. But yeah, I think whenever I revisited it, which was recently, I'm like, whoop, nope, shouldn't have done that. Whoops. So I think my opinion is like, I'm sure that, if you really went on a deep dive throughout YouTube, you could probably find some like great In Living Color clips that hold up. And like, obviously everybody on it is like a great performer, you know, it's in that sketch way that like, well, you know, like maybe the SCTV stuff is like a little clunky now, but you can tell how great everybody is. And in that same, like Damon Wayans is so like super funny. Like, you know, obviously, like, so, you know, say what you will about Jim Carrey, but like, you know, he's
Jim Carrey.
He's Jim Carreying around. He
brings
up there.
The heat.
Yeah, absolutely. It was not a fun revisit in that way. I think it is best left to the memory and like saying the old catchphrases to other 35 to 40 year old men.
Yeah.
And then enjoying it.
I think that I would get a lot out of going back and watching Arrested Development perform on there just to get a chance to see my childhood hero, the old man in Arrested Development who didn't do anything. He was like their wisdom leader.
Living the dream, that guy. Elders,
Baba OJ.
I don't have a lot of stuff that I collect, and there it's, you know, it's pretty, it's the stuff I do collect. It's pretty like, it's pretty chill. But for work reasons, I had to go back and research the, deep bench of Hanna-Barbera characters.
Oh,
And like, and kind of like, I'm like, well, like I, you know, maybe these all weren't the greatest cartoons, but the designs of these characters is so great. Like the designs of them are fucking awesome. And like, you know, evoke a time and have this kind of like classic cartooniness about them that you don't see anymore, you know, now that everything looks like it was drawn by a like a cool alternative comics person, yeah. Which is better, by the way. I just want to say like that's better. But also there's, you know, there's that kind of classic cartooniness that you don't get with cartoons anymore. And I was like, you know, and it kind of led me to like, maybe I should get a poster. Like, I can get a Jabberjaw animation cell for $50. Maybe I become classic Hanna-Barbera collector guy. Yeah, there's just so many weird little cartoons in that world. There's like the Teen Force and the Impossibles and all this other stuff that I was like, I don't think these would be super fun to like revisit, but like the stuff is really neat. I really love the like look of all this stuff.
Jordan, you know, I met either Hanna or Barbera. I don't remember which one it was. I gave him a proclamation on behalf of San Francisco Mayor Willie L. Brown.
Hey.
At the museum, the Cartoon Art Museum in San Francisco.
That's cool.
The main thing that I remember about that experience was that he was basically like a Harvey Keitel character from like a movie from 1986.
Yeah.
Like he just had like frosty sunglasses and like slicked back hair and like a gangster suit on.
Yeah.
And I was like, wait, this guy invented Scooby-Doo. This guy was like, yeah, get, and he should have a kid brother or a kid or something. Nobody knows what. Scrappy.
And if kids get bored, you throw a ghost in there. Yeah, exactly.
I don't know. I feel like Scrappy was a network note.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think Scrappy was, we got to freshen this thing up.
That was a Poochie situation there.
Yes, Scrappy was probably the inspiration.
The original, yeah.
Brian, I think you might have to look this up, or Jordan, you may know from your research, but yes. I feel like today my daughter told me that there's a horror reboot of the Banana Splits.
Boy, that sounds right. I think that exists.
God. That sounds familiar.
Yeah.
Can I honestly say, I bet it's terrible, but I love it. Like, yeah, way to go.
Sure.
A+.
Yeah, that Banana Split song. You know what's good and all that stuff? The theme songs all fucking rule. Yeah. You know, and I think a lot of times when we remember stuff from our childhood, we're remembering the theme songs and not the cartoons.
Yeah.
But like, that's fine. That's such a fun thing to go back on YouTube and look at.
Yeah, I agree completely. The cartoons of our childhood were execrable, by and large. Sure. I mean, truly horrible. Yeah. We're talking about cartoons from, one generation before us here primarily, but certainly in 1986 or 7 or whenever we were watching the young childhood of our cartoons, truly horrible. And it only got a little better when we were like 11. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
1992, there was some Batman the Animated Series and anime.
Sure, yeah.
Both of those, I'm sure, are perfectly good.
Yes, Warner Brothers started trying a little bit.
Yeah.
And I'm nodding along as if I'm the same generation and included in that we. So thanks. Thank you.
Gen Xer Jake Keith Van Stratton.
What were your cartoons as a kid?
Well, Steamboat Willie was a classic.
We would go to the Nickelodeon and throw him a nickel.
Well, you know, of course, we saw all the Hanna-Barbera and the Looney Tunes and all that in reruns. For me, you know, Smurfs and, especially Snorks. Snorks, anyone?
Snorks, no, sure. Snorks, yeah, the underwater Smurfs.
Yeah, Shmoo.
This
Shmoo.
Guy snorks.
Shmoo of that era. So a slight generation before, I guess.
Can I just say Heathcliff, no one should.
Right.
Terrorize
it at that.
A
no, I'm just leaving
no,
it at
I'm
that.
Sorry. I'm just leaving it at that. Okay, sorry.
Just leaving it at that.
Say no more.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, it is amazing how much that stuff, because like that was also stuff that I watched as a kid. It was amazing how recycled everything was, how they just like someone produced 500 15-minute cartoons between 1967 and 1977, and then it just kind of like was always on TV.
They showed Popeye every day in Chicago when I was a kid.
Have you guys?
Like he was talking about, like, you know, saving metal for the war effort.
Right. There would be a weird parody of a celebrity you didn't know.
Yeah.
James Cagney.
Yeah.
Kids have love you guys seen on the website Reddit, I watched a video, an animated GIF, really, of like recycled animation sequences from Disney movies?
I have not seen that.
It is the fucking wildest shit you've ever seen in your life. There are a bunch of scenes in Disney movies where they literally just completely 100% recycled the animation exactly.
Yeah, that's like, funny.
It will just be Mowgli doing the exact same thing as Simba.
Yep, I've seen that.
Like they fall over backwards into something and it's literally exactly the same sequence.
Yeah, it's like the doing different poses is interesting. Like,
yeah.
It's interesting, like, working in animation, because the first thing someone says to you when they hear that you're working in animation is, like, you can do anything, right? You can do anything you think of. It's like, no, like, some shit's really expensive to draw, and, like, they should all be in the same background. Don't invent a bunch of new characters if you don't have to. Like, there are so many things. And, yeah, and I'm sure just, like, if we can reuse poses and expressions, it, like, makes the whole thing. And, yeah, because I'm sure if you're, like, working on a Pixar, there's unlimited money, but, like... Yeah. Everything,
especially hand-drawn stuff back then. Why wouldn't you want to reuse it?
I mean, so you could make a new and different movie.
Oh, artistic integrity, right? Right. I read about that.
And they just reused the mom dying because that was cheaper. It's too expensive for a new parent to die. Just have the mom die.
Do you think every time they reused it, they said, it's the Aristocats?
Yes. I think they did. That's where the Aristocats came from.
We're going to take a quick break. We'll be back in just a second on Jordan Jesse Go. It's Jordan Jesse Go. I'm Jesse Thorne, America's radio sweetheart.
Jordan Morris, boy detective.
Jordan, did you make any New Year's resolutions this year?
Well... I mean, I want to shake things up, maybe switch up my workout, go someplace new. I don't know. These are just some things I've been thinking of. And
Jordan, no matter what you do to shake things up, whether it's switching up your workout or going someplace new, Raycon wireless earbuds are the best way to bring audio with you. And I'll tell you why, Jordan. No matter how much you shake things up, whether it's figurative, as in, for example, going someplace new, or literal, then you go someplace new and there's an earthquake.
Right.
Or you go someplace otherwise very shaky.
Mm-hmm.
Like a Shakey's.
Sure. A Shake Shack.
You know Raycon wireless earbuds will not fall out of your ears. And if you're having trouble with awareness, great news. There's awareness mode so you can listen to your surroundings. Watch out for wild cats.
Jesse, I have a pair of Raycons and I love them. They're great. I have tried a lot of earbuds and I will say that Raycons are my favorite pair that I have ever had. They're great. They've got these little gel tips so you can kind of customize your fit. I don't know how wide or tight your little ear holes are, but Raycon has a tip for you.
I think you know how tight my little ear holes are. That's a big part of my reputation.
Right. Yeah. They don't budge. They always sound great. I seriously love these things. I take them running. I take them on long walks and they always sound terrific. I really like these. I think if you're in the market for a wireless earbud, you can't do any better than Raycons. They're really, really great. And right now, our listeners get 15% off their Raycon order at buyraycon.com/JJGo. That's buyraycon.com/JJGo to save 15% on Raycons. buyraycon.com/JJGo.
We're also supported this week by the folks over at Wealthfront. Now, Jordan, there is a world of investment apps out there.
Mm-hmm.
You can buy any goddamn thing with one of these investment apps. But the nice thing about Wealthfront is it's more than just an opportunity to buy any goddamn thing. Okay, you're not just buying poppy seeds on this thing. You can buy, you're getting actual investment guidance in the app. And if you don't want to learn, let's say you hate learning.
Mm-hmm.
You can just go ahead and say.
That's me, basically.
Okay.
Can't do it. Don't want to. No interest.
You can just go ahead and put your money in the classic portfolio. Let's say that you don't want to learn, but you do want to support causes you care about. Well, throw your money into that socially responsible fund.
Oh.
These are the nice things about Wealthfront, which is designed by financial experts.
Yeah, I've heard that they are trusted with over $28 billion in assets, helping nearly 500,000 people build their wealth. Jeez, those numbers. Holy cow.
Start building your wealth. Get your first $5,000 managed for free for life. Go to wealthfront.com/JJGo.
That's Wealthfront, WealthFront.com/JJGo to start building your wealth. That's wealthfront.com/JJGo to get started today.
Let's get back to the show. Hey, it's me, Joseph Barbera. Don't fuck with Scrappy Doo.
I'm William Hanna. I'm his friend.
Shut the fuck up, Billy.
Okay. I'll go get you your iced tea.
Yeah, put more ice in it this time. It got tepid.
Okay. Oh, no.
Christ, you keep tooting up the room.
Sorry.
Get your act together. I'm turning into Snagglepuss over here. I'm actually Jesse Thorne, America's Radio.
Jordan Morris, Boy Detective.
J. Keith Van Stratton, difficult to spell.
Yeah, it's not two. There's just two A's and one T.
Yeah, but the van, there's a lowercase v, there's the J with a period.
Does that lowercase v doesn't count as spelling?
Yes, it does. What are you talking about?
That's spelling, upper, lowercase?
I don't remember.
That's grammar,
are you
J.
saying
Keith.
It's punctuation?
Keith, look, the point is we're all disappointed in my nickname.
Yeah, it stunk. It was almost as bad as my impression of Hanna-Barbera founder, Joseph Barbera. Is that his name?
But not Yeah, William Hanna, Joseph Barbera.
Hey, Jesse, I think that maybe old Jack Nicholson could pull us out of this tailspin, huh?
Give me some Scooby snacks.
There he is.
And he's pulling his hair back.
I love how Jack Nicholson says and starts every sentence with, yeah! He's like the Penguin.
Maybe it was Jack Wickelson. Would that be Evil Jack?
Is that Jack Nicholson's John Wick character?
No, that's Jack Nicholson's...
Somebody kills Jack Nicholson's evil counterpart
from the Nintendo universe.
Oh, right. You're using the Mario Wario.
Okay, so guys.
Right.
Some time ago, J. Keith Van Stratton was kind enough to send us a highly sensual book called Burt Reynolds' Hotline, The Letters I Get and Write. Exclusive Burt Reynolds Hotline Scene, 16 pages. Of sexy new photos, including this legendary shot of his little tushy, of his little tushy sticking out from his football uniform, just like, ooh, look at me, I'm a little stinker.
Jay Keith, this is something you've sent to us. We've used it many times on the show. Thank you very much.
I'm so pleased that it has lived a life beyond my bookshelf.
Where did you get such a thing?
No idea. I have collected goofy pop culture books. Especially, my specialty has been novelizations of movies.
Okay.
Why am I forgetting anything? What are the things that look like comic books, but they're photos of they're like film cells?
Oh yeah.
I'm blanking on what they're called, but no.
Val broke into the show. Valerie, our the producer of our web stream here. Broke into the show to say microfiche, which really could. Number one, she's not allowed to talk. Number two, Microfiche?
Val, I disagree. I think periodically just break in and say microfiche.
Yeah.
Val helps the show.
Val is like Baba Booey, only with library words.
young adult section.
Photo novels. They're called photo novels with an F.
Photo novels. Okay.
And so what they would do is they would take like production stills and then put in speaking and thought bubbles for the characters, and then release that as a companion to the movie. It was a big thing in the late 70s.
What's your number 80s. One novelization that you've got?
Rent-A-Cop, I'm pretty proud of. They made that. Speaking of Burt Reynolds. I've also just a bunch of sequels. One of the things when the girlfriend moved in was those are now in the garage. So I don't have them in front of me to refer to, but I do remember that. Oh no. The Shaft books, and then there was a Shaft sequel book called Shaft Among the Jews.
No way.
100% real. That is still on the shelf. That made the cut.
That has pride of place.
But just in big, oh yes, in big letters in that great 70s font, Shaft Among the Jews.
Shalom.
They say that Shaft's a bad mensch. No, I'm sorry, everybody.
That's as far as we'll go with this. Yes. That's as good. That's as good
We're
as
done.
That's gonna get.
We're done. Hey, Burt Reynolds book. Anyway, at various thrift stores across the country, and right. in my travels when I would do road trips, I would always stop in and just pick up ones that I thought were goofy. I don't think I'd actually read this, so it's getting infinitely more use being on the show in your hands, Jesse, than it ever was in the several years that I had it.
So we should say we love Burt Reynolds and are fascinated with his weird and compelling career. Mm-hmm. And this is a book made to jack off to, we think, where
it's not so much made to jack off to as to giggle crank.
Sure, yeah, I think that's a fine distinction.
Because Burt Reynolds at the time was a cheeky monkey in more ways than right. one. He was America's mm-hmm. number one cheeky monkey, and that he was mm-hmm. showing his butt.
Right.
And he was had a who me? Attitude.
Yeah. Mm. So this is a book that the premise is that these are letters that women write him. I think the idea is that they're all. I don't know if it contains letters from men too, but I think it's just women.
Yes. There is a letter in here that I was really impressed by.
Sure.
This one says, dear Mr. Reynolds, I'm sure you receive hundreds of fan letters daily. However, I assume my letter is unique in that I am a gay male. I hope this doesn't turn you off. I can think of no one who is more deserving of all the recognition you've been getting. Brother, you really turned me on. I'd give anything for 1 hour with you. Please answer, yours for the asking, R.D. And then Burt Reynolds writes, R.D. Dear R.D., a fan is a friend. No matter what current he, she operates on, AC or DC. Thanks for being one of mine. I was like, that is a really generous attitude that Burt Reynolds
Absolutely.
Took to that letter in
1974 or whatever.
Yeah.
Jeez. Okay.
I was impressed. I was impressed with BR. Okay, here we go. Letters to Burt Reynolds. This one's from Lucy Ann R. in Baltimore. Dear Burt, I was looking at a picture of you today. Let me tell you something. I want that sensuous bod of yours. I want to lick you from stem to stern. Mm. Right now, I could really go for it, Bert. I'd have my nails in your back just digging away. So let's get it on. I really want every inch of you. So whenever you're near Baltimore,
sure.
Drop over for a good piece. I know a motel with water beds. I'm on fire just thinking about it. Man, I want to ball you bad. I'm 21 years old.
Wow.
A contented freak. No VD either.
That's a plus.
Do a lot of grass, and I'm a good lay. And believe me, I've got my shit together. Be cool.
Wow.
Be cool.
Wow.
Be cool, Jordan.
Okay, so let's just go through this.
Did you know that you had plagiarized your dating app bio, Jordan?
I think I subconsciously did. It's one of those, it's like a parallel thought thing.
Contented freak, no VD, 420 friendly,
420 friendly. Yes. So when they say stem to stern, one of those is the tape, right? But which one?
It means from
gotta be stern.
Taint to chode. I thought it was the stem.
Taint to chode, Jordan.
From taint to chode.
Translation of that.
The Jordan Morris story.
He's a contented freak.
I spent time among either. The Jews. So, okay. but is what do you when you hear I'm going to lick you stem to stern? Where does that start and where does that end? In your imagination,
boy. So it could be nips to crank, or it could be butthole forward,
right?
And I mean straight through. I'm talking about through.
I think head to toe or toe to head.
Yeah.
Why are you licking heads?
Don't kink shame him, Jesse. If he and his beautiful fiance want to dress up like bad Bots Maru and his girlfriend and Hanamaru. Lick each other's heads. Yeah. It's Hanamaru, excuse me. Yeah. They have the same last name.
I think it's a Japanese term that I don't know what it means. Okay. I think it means maybe young person or bad something.
But yeah, I mean, if Jay Keith and his fiance want to lick each other in the head, who are we? Who are we to yuck that yum?
I'm Jesse Thorne.
Okay, you know what? We're going to knock it off.
And I'm opposed to head licking. Yep.
Say no more, boss.
Well, and of course you get down to those nasty little feet, right?
Okay, look, I'm not going to tell Jay Keith not to get involved with some nasty little hoofs. I say go to town on those little tappers.
Yeah.
But, all right. Honey, we're back on.
The wedding's back on.
When it comes to head licking, I'm 100% out. I can't send a gift to that wedding party. Sorry, no toaster for you, Jay Keith.
Oh, but I love toast. Breville.
That's a premium toaster brand, Jay Keith.
It is.
I'm not just getting you some bullshit Sunbeam from over there at the Super K. Okay.
I'll be good.
A verse for Sexy Bert. Mm-hmm. Your name is a bedroom word to every itching, twitching bird. From 16 to 60. Well, each feminine fan goes ape when she beholds your marvelous can. Pining poetess in Poughkeepsie.
Boy, it's a shame when you turn 61 that just ends.
Yeah. Yeah. Bert's got to have standards.
Dear Mr. Reynolds, you, Mr. Reynolds, are just the guy to play the leading character in my book called The Coxman and His Geronimo. I'm writing this here book, see, and it's damn near through and it's real gutsy. And everybody who's read it says you're the guy for the part. It's an X-rated book.
Part in the book? What did she think a book is?
In the photo novel. That's what she
means. Oh, in the photo novel.
In the photo novel, yeah.
She's planning for the photo novel.
It's an X-rated book. I gave it this rating. So it didn't go before any kind of ratings board. This is unofficial. Yeah. But this is one of those things. It is like the ratings board. It is a response to governmental pressure that's an attempt to stave off government censorship by having self-imposed censorship. May I explain who Geronimo is? It's his prick. So named by the women he made love with. These women are all hotter than firecrackers.
Do they use an apostrophe there?
Yeah, hotter.
Okay, hotter than fire. Hotter than.
His real name is Dick O'Toole, but his nickname is Cocky. Get it?
Subtle.
No.
No.
Oh, I don't get it, guys. It's like when everybody on the bus wouldn't tell me what 69 meant.
Oh, Hannah, quit tooting in here.
Oh, sorry. Oh, boy.
What I'm driving at, would you be interested in this book? All it needs is to get a publisher. all it needs to get a publisher is for you to say you'd play it in the movies. So what do you say?
So she's talking about the adaptation of the book. So
no, I think she's saying it can't even be a book until he greenlights the movie.
The movie. Yeah. But I mean, you know, I think you can look at kind of modern publishing trends, like, you know, obviously, like when Reese Witherspoon picks a book for her club, it's like it's a project for her to act in or produce in down the line. So I mean, I think this woman was very like very savvy, kind of early to this idea that like it's all IP, you know.
The Oprah of her day.
The Oprah, sure. Yes.
Yeah. The Coxman and his Geronimo.
Yeah.
The Geronimo.
IP.
The Geronimo here, if I can explain, is his prick.
It's his prick.
It's so named by the women he made love with.
Mm-hmm.
By the way, Bert's response to this one says, excuse the helicopter and multiple police cars going past my house. They heard about this Coxman. They want to get a look. Dear Scotty, I say to hell with women if my Coxman Geronimo could win a coveted guy named Oscar. I think he could have won an Oscar if he had done it.
Sure.
He'd have won the Oscar for the Coxman and his Geronimo.
Right. Was this kind of like predictive of his career revival during the Boogie Nights? Is this, you know?
Could
be. He kind of put this away.
Yeah. It's a good point.
Yeah. Thank you.
Sadly, it was going to be his last project.
And right. taken too soon.
He had to reclaim the prestige.
Right. Yeah.
Dear friend. I am write you a few lines to let you hear from me.
Mm-hmm.
I'm okay. And I hope when you get this letter, you will be likewise.
Sounds like one of those letters where it's going to say, he recorded you jacking off on your laptop.
I did like
Hello,
the picture.
Friend, you like to make lots of nasty touching of yourself, don't you?
I did like the picture you play on Don August very much. And I love you too, Burt Reynolds, sweet Reynolds, but I like to get a letter, Burt Reynolds, from you. I like what I see in your hot body. I'd like to kiss everywhere. And I would be so pleased if you send me some candy and some jewels. Hope you find it in your heart to send me them. And
Jesus.
I know you have a good heart. I like you for your sweet body, Burt Reynolds, and I wish you would think of me and send me a box of candy and a bracelet. And I do hope you don't have so many girlfriend, Burt Reynolds, because I like you, sweet body, honey. And I want you to remember that I like everything that you do and all. So you, Burt Reynolds, sweet body, honey, out there in big Hollywood, California.
Mm-hmm.
Would love to get anything from your sweet body, Burt Reynolds. So please, send me some nice candy or nice trinket.
Burt Reynolds was sending his fans candy and jewels? Do we need to be sending fans candy and jewels?
I mean, candy or a nice trinket would go a long way when we get a fan letter, Jordan.
Yeah.
Somebody sends us their zine.
Gentlemen, I would like to introduce you to the ring pop.
It solves
all of your problems.
Two birds. That's amazing. Do you think this is why we haven't risen to the level of Burt Reynolds, you know, in his heyday in the 70s? Is because he was thoughtful enough to
send out
jewels and candy.
Jewels, by the way, was spelled J-U-L-E-S.
Okay.
So maybe we should be sending, maybe we should be sending out Jules Pfeiffer.
Sure. a lot of Jules is out there we can mail to people.
Yeah. I was thinking, isn't there a vape called Jules? Isn't that the...
Jewel is a popular vape.
Yeah. J-U-L, yeah.
Well, I mean, that's kind of the modern Jewel.
Can I suggest something for the neighborhood council, J. Keith?
Please. This is how we get our best ideas.
How about $500 to buy Jules for the local high school? Get teens hooked on vaping.
I will send you a form that you can fill out. And you can present your idea at the next board meeting.
I know that Mid-City West High has to this point specialized primarily in academic decathlon, but mm-hmm. imagine if they bump it up one so that it's, you know, all the different academic subjects plus blowing fat clouds.
Mm-hmm. I think that's, we're going to set them apart.
Mm-hmm. Have you seen the fucking pathetic clouds at Hollywood High?
I mean, just shameful. Shameful.
These Drew Barrymore shameful. Motherfuckers and their pathetic clouds.
Yeah.
Oof.
Come on. Jay Keith, the council needs to step in.
Yeah.
I'll see what I can do, which, I'll spoiler alert, is nothing.
As with, yeah. No, my faith yeah. in government.
Oh, no.
Ah!
That's basically what I, that's pretty much a global policy.
Mine was going great until right now.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Jay That's Keith, okay. can I tell you so you're doing this live show. We mentioned this live show that you're doing Wednesday the 16th.
This is the we first mentioned mention of the live show.
No,
it's a live
first
show.
Live show.
Jay Keith is doing Hello. Jay Keith and our friend Helen Hong, his co-host, a friend of Jordan Jesse Go, are doing their show Go Fact Yourself live on the internet from KPCC here in that's right there in Pasadena, California, Jordan.
Oh.
Yeah, it's Pasadena City College's radio station. Got John Raby over there, the whole nine yards. This is Wednesday the 16th. And you guys, what I admire about you, Jay Keith, is you're not a friend. You're not afraid to send out an email. You send out an email to Jazzy yeah. Jeff, maybe he'll say yes. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Hey, that's my cue. Yes, he did. Yes, our guests are DJ Jazzy Jeff and Faith Saley. And this is celebrating our 100th episode here on the Maximum Fun Network.
That's fantastic. Congratulations to you on that. What are some of the best people you've attempted to send an email to?
Oh, I thought you were setting up for what are the best guests. And I would be like, well, obviously, Jesse Thorne and Jordan Moritz were among our favorite guests.
We're top three or two or three.
I got a very.
I tuned in.
Okay, sorry.
Well,
sorry. Are you done?
Yeah.
That's fine. I got a very.
Jay Keith, an entertainer's work is never done.
Oh, don't I know it? Don't I know it? I got a very quick rejection from Jake Gyllenhaal's representative today.
That's a good. That's a good no.
That was a big one. Let's see.
No, thank you. Mr. Gyllenhaal is focusing on developing his crazy eyes.
He is filming abroad and will be unavailable. That's what I was told by his rep.
Thank you.
That's a great question. Who are some of the biggest people? Reggie Jackson was a no.
What was what email address do you send it to for is it just reggie@jackson.com?
It is. You're not that
Mr.
far off.
mr.october@reggiejackson.net.
Well, what's amazing is, you know, we do have to book celebrity guests and experts for the show all the time. And what's amazing is once I get somebody's actual email who's, you know, agreed to be on the show, 9 times out of 10, it's their name at gmail.com.
This is so true. I can so profoundly confirm this. We have a guest book at Maximum Fun that people write their name in when they come on Bullseye. And if someone I know is coming in, I will have them start the page by actually putting their contact information in the contact information box rather than just a generic well wish. And then everybody else who signs underneath will feel compelled to. So that's how I gather the email addresses of the
smart
of the people who come on the show. And all celebrities' names are either their name at gmail.com or sometimes like fartmaster69@AOL.net. Yes. Mm-hmm. Like it's only AOL or their name at Gmail. Those are the only celebrity email addresses.
Yeah, sometimes they'll put a period or a middle name or a middle initial or something like that.
Yeah.
But it's profoundly disappointing.
I have Kirsten Dunst's email because of an accidental CC instead of blind BCC situation.
Yeah.
And I don't know, what am I going to do with Kirsten Dunst's email?
I will take it.
Congratulate her on her Oscar nomination, I think.
Congratulations, KD.
Yeah.
You seem like a cool lady.
And I would say about 80% of the emails we send out get no response. We're so thrilled when we get a no or a pass, because at least we know we can move on to something else, someone else. And then the remaining 10%, I would say about half of those end up saying no, even if we get a little nibble or an interest. And then it's, you know, working out logistics and all that. So, So yeah, no, there definitely have been some bigger names that we've pursued.
What's a hard no you got from someone who really should have been saying yes? Like, have you gotten a hard no from like the owner of any taxidermy museums?
Right. Oh, not that. But
you
we
played
have
bass
had...
in Len. Why? Why are you saying
boy,
no?
That's a great question. I will say the quickest no we ever got. Which I thought he would have said yes. I think you've had him on your show, Joshua Malina.
Yeah, Josh Malina.
Yeah.
Like it was, I had barely pressed send.
Best known like, as Jeremy on Sports Night.
Mm-hmm. Of course. I had just taken my finger off the mouse button from clicking send, and I got the reply saying no. And it wasn't, maybe some other time or blah, blah, blah. It was no.
Nah, dude.
That was it. That was it.
Sorry,
was
I'm
it.
Counting but? My sports night money. I already kissed Natalie. I don't need anything else in television.
I've peaked. My career has peaked.
Yeah.
But, you know, that's part of the fun and the stress and the craziness of the show is, you know, and then, of
you
course,
get,
we,
you get a lot
we're
of great,
very lucky we get a lot of yeses,
you get
too.
A lot of great yeses. The contestants come on. They have something they're passionate about, and then you kind of prepare a quiz about that subject, and then there's kind of this surprise reveal when a guest comes on who is kind of associated with that, and you've really had some great people, and the reaction from the contestants when, you know, someone from the world of their passion comes on is really great. It's a really,
oh, thank
really
you.
Great.
I couldn't believe it. When I was on there, Jay Keith revealed my special guest was Hall of Fame Giants play-by-play man, John Miller. I'm not ashamed to say this, Jordan.
Mm.
I flipped my wig.
Wow.
I flipped my goddamn wig, Jordan. Yeah. That's what I did.
And that was just on the phone. That was back when we were still doing, you know, live in-person shows. A lot of times we would have people show up in person. So like, you know, we had Jenny Jardin was on the show and marijuana was her topic. And we got Tommy Chong to show up.
Chong.
And the place just went bananas. That was, I believe, our first and only genuflection of a guest. Wow. she literally got on her knees and, you know, davened.
I'm surprised. Now I'm just surprised to hear that Jenny Jardin smokes marijuana.
Yeah. Oh, it's a real stunner.
It's a real shocker.
She's never brought it up.
on one of the episodes I did, I was playing against Allison Rosen, and she is obsessed with the Facts of Life, and her surprise guest was the woman who sings the Facts of Life theme song, who also co-wrote it, I think.
Yes.
And
well, she got a writing credit. She by her own admission, her then husband Alan Thicke pretty much wrote it and then gave her a writing credit on it. Yeah.
And like I, you know, Facts of Life is one of those like things I vaguely remember as a kid, but like. Mm-hmm. That fucking theme, when she sang that theme song, like the crowd went wild. Like that's one of those, I'm like, I don't really remember what that show was about, but I remember Tootie. That fucking theme song.
Tootie was something on it.
It was about Tootie. Mm-hmm.
And the mom, that she wasn't the real mom.
Mm-hmm.
And
Tootie,
there was...
Tootie and the False Mom was the original title.
Tootie and the Blowfish.
Yes, Tootie and the Blowfish. You know, he doesn't like to be called Tootie.
Blair. Blair is one of them. I can name a couple facts of life. I'm pretty on top of that.
Yeah,
Alan Thicke wrote that goddamn one too.
What's that?
Alan Thicke had the fucking jams.
Oh yeah.
Bangers.
We've discussed this already, but like one of my fucking all-time jams is one of his aerobics world championship theme songs, Sweaty and Hot.
Yeah.
Like I for real fuck with Sweaty and Hot. If anybody wants to go on YouTube and check out Sweaty and Hot by Alan Thicke as performed at the World Aerobics Championship, it fucking goes, dude. Shit is awesome. I'm into it.
Mm-hmm.
Getting down.
Well, do you guys want to take a break? I'm getting a little sweaty and hot.
Yeah, we'll be back in just a second on Jordan Jesse Go.
La, 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 la.
Hey, kid. Your dad tell you about the time he broke Steven Dorff's nose at the Kids' Choice Awards?
In Dead Pilot Society, scripts that were developed by studios and networks but were never produced are given the table reads they deserve.
When I was a kid, I had to spend my Christmas break filming a PSA about angel dust. So yeah, being a kid sucks sometimes.
Presented by Andrew Reich and Ben Blacker. Dead Pilot Society, twice a month on MaximumFun.org.
You know, the show you like, that hobo with the scarf who lives in a magic dumpster?
Doctor Who?
Yeah!
la, 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 la.
Did your neighbor back into your car?
Bring that case to Judge Judy.
Think the mailman might be the real father?
Give that one to Judge Mathis.
But does your mom want you to flush her ashes down the toilet at Disney World when she passes away?
Now that's my jurisdiction. Welcome to the court of Judge John Hodgman, where the people are real, the disputes are real, and the stakes are often unusual.
If I got arrested for dumping your ashes in the Jungle Cruise, it would be an honor.
I don't want to be part of somebody getting a super yacht.
I don't know at what point you want to go into this, but we've had a worm bin before.
Available free right now at MaximumFun.org.
Judge John Hodgman, the court of last resort when your wife won't stop pretending to be a cat and knocking the clean laundry over.
La, 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 la.
It's Jordan Jesse Go. I'm Jesse Thorne, America's radio sweetheart.
A Jordan Morris boy detective.
J. Keith Van Stratton, lame nickname.
J. Keith.
Yes, Jesse.
No nickname could be lame when you're friends with Jazzy Jeff.
I don't know if we're friends. We'll find out on Wednesday.
Do you think you'll hold hands?
Yes, over Zoom.
That's what I would shoot for. We'll both shoot for holding hands.
Yeah. We'll both raise our hand at the same time in the Zoom chat window.
Do we know what Jazzy Jeff's possible areas of expertise are yet?
I can't say because we have not booked his expert yet. We're a week out and we do not have an expert yet. So we're working on a couple different topics. It'll depend on who we're able to get. But I will say this. A couple of them are not at all surprising and a couple of them quite surprising. Yes. Yes. So if you think about Philadelphia, if you think about his background in entertainment,
those will not be
surprising. Yes. and then there was Scrapple. And then there was one where I was like, "Oh, I would not have thought about that for you."
Yeah. I'm excited about this.
Thank you, me too. And then so we're doing this live stream on the 16th and then it'll be as a podcast on the 25th in our podcast feed.
One time I went to Faith Saley's book party.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Very nice of her to invite me to her book party. I went to her book party at a rich man's home. Sometimes you go to one of these parties at a rich man's home here in Los Angeles. It doesn't happen often for me. I'm not a show business insider like Jordan. But once in a while.
I've never been to a rich man's home.
Really?
No. Uh-uh.
Well.
Not even your. I'd like to be invited to your home someday.
You're invited to my. You come on over to my house.
Okay.
Come on to my house, Jordan. Come sure. on to my house. I went to this rich man's home and the mayor was there.
Cool.
God, I'd love
wow.
to.
Wearing that sash that said mayor.
God, I'm just wearing that gorgeous sash.
Yeah.
Carrying those enormous scissors.
Yeah.
Yeah. giant cheeseburger for a head.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Huge.
That's my mayor.
That's who I voted for Mid-City West neighborhood.
That's
what,
yeah. That's a good write-in if you're not. D's Nuts is over. I've had it with D's Nuts. Mayor McCheese or nothing.
Yeah. Goodbye, revival of D's Nuts that we proclaimed a few years ago.
Yeah.
We're on Mayor McCheese now.
Yeah, the McDonaldland gang.
Hamburglar.
Fry guys. Birdie.
You know what? Besides that, later the Burger King Kids Club. That's 12 years we've been just listing the names of the characters in the Burger King Kids Club.
Are there any fast food mascots from our youth that were missing?
That we're leaving on the table? I mean, there's Big Mac tonight. We don't talk enough about Big Mac tonight. That was like a sexy moon that played the piano.
I might be wrong about this, but I think Doug Jones, the guy who does all the like creatures for Guillermo del Toro,
you're
100% was Big Mac tonight.
You're 100% correct because Doug Jones was on Bullseye some years ago. First of all, he's one of those people where you're worried that he's too nice to you. Mm-hmm. Like you're worried that there's something on your face or, you know, maybe he thinks you're leprotic. You know, like, and it's like you feel like he is a football player and you are a child in the leukemia wing.
Right.
Right.
You know what I mean?
He knows about your diagnosis. You.
Yeah, but he 100% was Big Mac tonight, for sure. That is the actual truth. Cool guy, Doug Jones. Like him a lot.
J. Keith, who were the fast food mascots of your youth?
the McDonaldland. I don't like Birdie because Birdie was a latecomer. I was around pre-Birdie and then Birdie showed up and I was like, who invited the skirt?
I'm a bit of a Birdie bro.
You're a birdie bro?
Yeah.
So you feel about Birdie the way Star Wars guys feel about Rey.
I don't know from Star Wars, okay. But I will trust you.
You feel
that
Birdie learned how to use the Force too quickly.
Yes. Thank you. Thank you for putting it in terms I would understand. Yes.
Yeah. Birdie ruined the true hero, Mayor McCheese.
Mm-hmm. Right. That's who the story's about.
The story about McCheese, old McCheese reevaluating his priorities. No, thank you. Mm-hmm. Give me the pure boy hero of Tatooine. Yeah. The land of the twin sons.
But I think we can listen. There's a lot of controversy about all this, but I think we can all unite in our love for Baby Hamburglar. Who we learned later's name was Grogu.
J. Keith has a look on his face that can only be described as I'm jacking off to Bad Bad Bots Maru right now.
So cranking for nicknames, it. You never thought of Bad Bad J. Keith Van Stratton?
Never occurred to me, no.
Seems like I an like error.
I like to think that there's more to my identity than my love of Bots Maru, but I'm very open to the possibility that I could be wrong.
Yeah, you're coming up snake eyes here on other things. I mean, there's also travel points.
Mm-hmm. Right, right.
Yeah, J. Keith knows exactly like my points how many miles. Points he can get for different stuff. Jordan, he writes for thepointsguy.net.
Oh, I know.
Yeah.
.com, and I haven't for a while, but yes, I do. I do enjoy my.
Yeah, how many points?
I do enjoy my points.
Jake, how many points you got?
We're still in the low millions. Uh-huh.
How do you feel about the Marriott Bonvoy program?
Well, there are a couple different schools of thought on this.
Let's hear it. 30 more minutes of the podcast.
Spill the tea, Bonvoy tea. Have a warm cookie.
No, mainly I resent the name change. I hate the name Bonvoy. I think it's terrible.
Bonvoy, what was it?
It was, that's an excellent question.
It was the BK Kids Club.
Believe it or not, I'm blanking on the name. I'm under pressure. No, it's okay. I'd have to look it up.
I'll look it up. It's pointsguy.net.
Okay, thanks. with a capital V.
Mm-hmm. What's your top points? What's your number one points, J. Keith? Credit card?
Like which one do I have the most points in?
Bora Bora.
I don't understand. Know. Do you know the question from you're points? Asking?
What do I know about points?
What's a point?
Yeah. You're asking me what's my favorite redemption of
sure.
points? You're asking,
yeah, sure. Why not? You ever buy a Bots Maru with points?
Oh, well, I did buy the Bots Maru flight with points.
No, okay. Talking.
So, yeah.
What's your number one points thing you got? You ever get a fanny pack?
What does that mean?
Just like that stuff you can get with points. Seems to me like you get a frisbee or a fanny pack.
No, you get the points.
Or a little parachute
That's what you get. No,
it's about the points. It's not about a thing. No, it's about
Jordan,
points.
How many parachute guys do you get for the points?
I think you're thinking of Chuck E. Cheese tickets.
There you go.
Okay. Yeah, fair enough. Well, it takes a lot of skee ball to buy one of those Bots Maru tickets. I'll tell you that, mm-hmm. J. Keith.
If anyone has Bots Maru tickets, I would consider that a practical item and be glad to acquire it.
J. Keith, if people want to watch this live event you guys are doing on the 16th, what do they do? This is not an improv. We should say it's a virtual event and anyone can attend.
Anyone virtually. In the world. And it's free. It's free. We just ask you to RSVP and register. You can go to gofactorpod.com for our schedule and tickets. It's at 6 p.m. Pacific live on your video screen on the 16th, Wednesday the 16th. Gofactorpod.com will take you to the link to reserve, and we hope you watch it. It should be a lot of fun, and we're going to have some special surprises to celebrate the 100th episode of Go Fact Yourself.
I got to tell you, I watched not just mine, but I've watched other Go Fact Yourself shows here in Los Angeles. It is a hoot and a half, and they've been getting some incredible guests since they've gone virtual for the pandemic. Really awesome people, and Go Fact Yourself, whether you watch it live on the 16th, you listen to the podcast, you could hardly have a better time, and you'll probably learn something about somebody else's nerd shit. Just, I learned a lot about chocolate from those nice chocolate ladies that came on that were the experts on the show that I was on with a superhero lady.
Yeah, Kelly Hu.
Kelly Hu.
Had making chocolate as one of her topics. And we got a couple of local chocolatiers who came by and shared their expertise as well. So, yeah.
Kelly Hu was probably the single most physically impressive human being I've ever met. She was like a 50-year-old that looked 20 and also looked like she could kick my ass at the drop of a hat and also was very beautiful.
Yep. And had a bunch of super fans who had made their own T-shaped shirts to cheer her on, which was exciting.
They had
as well.
She had stands in the house. She definitely had stands in the house. She was very gracious with them. She's a benevolent leader for her stands.
My sister came when I did it.
Oh, that's cool. Man, that sounds exciting. She drove up from Orange County.
Drove up from Orange County, yeah.
Oh, that's so lovely.
It's a little bit of a haul, so.
Yeah.
It was nice. Very nice of her. Anyway.
GoFactorPod.com. Jordan, Jesse, Go. Our theme music, Love You by The Free Design, courtesy of The Free Design, and Light in the Attic Records. Our producer, Brian Sunny D. Fernandez, Valerie Moffitt on the video stream. By the way, I think we're going to move this video stream over to YouTube. What do you think of that? Yeah, YouTube.com.
That sounds great. That's maybe when people get bored, they can surf over to some fail videos or Minecraft tutorials. Yeah, Tesla hacks with guys.
Can I tell you something?
Me.
We got a couple bits of information. We were talking recently on the program about the celebrities that look like us. For me, it was a painting by the Argentine painter Martin Tovar from the 19th century. For you, it was a guy that does Tesla hacks. First of all, somebody posted one of the Tesla hacks videos. It took some real detective work. Brian couldn't find one, but somebody found one. I got to tell you, not only this guy looks like you, he's a pretty handsome guy, just like Jordan Morris.
I was happy to talk about it just because I'm like, okay, this is like, I mean, you know, we're both just kind of like, you know, dude 27Bs, but like, you know, but he has kind of gray curly hair, which I think looks kind of cool. Yeah. Makes me excited to go gray one day. And
Rand Paul.
Sure.
Your hero, Rand Paul.
Ugh, my hero.
Finally, somebody's standing up to that Americans with Disabilities Act, huh?
Rand Paul and Reince Priebus, my two heroes. Sorry, Darth Plagueis.
I will also say this. Someone posted a picture on Twitter of Creed Bratton from The Office and, of course, the 60s rock band The Grassroots when he was a young man. And they said this guy looks like a combination of Jesse and Jordan. And I said, this is fucking ridiculous. What do you mean? How could he possibly? I looked at the picture. He looks like a combination of us and he's very handsome. We should definitely have a baby together, Jordan. That's the lesson here. And hopefully he'll be a member of an important 60s folk rock group.
Right.
And later go on to be an extra on The Office who's so weird they start giving him lines.
I mean, I think by the time our baby becomes of age, The Office will be on its fourth reboot and you can probably slide in.
They'll probably have a horror reboot where they have to fight the banana splits.
Man, pretty good.
Yeah, sounds like a lot of fun. Join us on social media, MaximumFun.reddit.com, at Jordan_Morris, at Jesse Thorne on Twitter. We're also on Instagram, where I am at put.this.on. It's the little shop and blog, and you know, you get my fit pics there. Jordan will post. You want to know what Jordan's reading? Jordan's a real word bug, as they say.
Yep.
This guy loves photo novels.
Can't get enough.
What are you, Jordan David Morris?
I am, yeah.
Jordan David Morris. I really ought to write that down sometime. Hashtag it JJGo on Twitter. And look, we'll talk to you next time on Jordan, Jesse, Go.
I'll hug you and kiss you and love you.
Love you.
Love you.
Love you.
Love you.
Love you.
MaximumFun.org.
Comedy and culture. Artist owned.
Audience supported.